Shalom, everyone, and today we start a new book, the book of Vayikra, known as Leviticus. And let us understand the framework of what's going on. This is the third and the middle book of the five books of Moses. It is a very important book because although it is a kind of boring, if you just read the simple text, but it is a very important book, and I'll explain why. Within the book of Genesis, I always explain it's a beginning of a new year, and we have to reenact the rules. We have to remember what did we start with, how this world started, and basically we need to download an upgrade of the new of the basic operation programs like Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, Joseph, all of this, it's all included in the book of Genesis. Genesis, which means in order to start something, and every year is a startup. Every year for each one of us supposed to be a new project, a new adventure, a new life. Because we get a new opportunity, getting the whole cycle all over again. And then, after we basically reenact the rules in the book of Genesis, then we have the book of Exodus, which means so now you have to remember what you're doing here. What you're doing here, you are in the middle of a fight to get yourself out from slavery into freedom. Slavery to physicality, slavery to the limitation of the body, slavery to a limitation of the imagination, thoughts, emotions, the whole story of the Exodus, and we explain it. We all need to relive that story even daily, and that's why in the daily prayers the Exodus is mentioned so many times. What is the Exodus? Is remembering that we are here to be free. Freedom, however, is a matter of responsibility. In Hebrew, freedom, chirut, responsibility, achrayut. Almost the same letters, just a difference of an aleph. Why? Because if we really understand, and that's basically very important, because today is the new moon of Aries, Nisan, Rosh Chodeshim Ulachem, it's the head of the month for you. And we just read yesterday on Shabbat Chodesh how important it is to remember that the whole process of the Exodus is starting. Go back to Exodus chapter 12, just in the beginning, verse 2. And God says to Moses and Aaron, this month is yours to declare, which means in that verse, God out is outsourcing the definition of the cycles of the months and the years into the Israelite new forming nation. Says, I'm outsourcing it. From now on, you are the ones that will declare when it's a new moon. And basically, whoever noticed in the synagogue what was declared, today is the first day of Nisan, Aleph Benisan. However, the new moon happened yesterday morning. So how come? So the sages decided sometimes to shift the first day, one day over, because of certain reasons, just a simplistic, and I said it many, many times, the Hebrew calendar is manipulated bits here and there. For instance, you will find that Yom Kippur will never happen on a Friday or a Sunday. Why? If you know what Yom Kippur is about, it is very, very difficult and complex to deal with Yom Kippur and Shabbat when they're adjacent to each other. Impossible. So the Israelite nation decided that we are going to sometimes push a day over to prevent events like this from happening. So why? Because God gave us, he outsourced to us to define when or how time flows. And that's part of freedom, realizing that you have the power to control. And that means what freedom is about, and we'll see that today also in Parashat Vayikra. Freedom is about something very precious. It's about the freedom to make your own connection to the source of happiness without dependency in others, which means that that idea of the Exodus that is so powerful. On one hand, we finished the book of Exodus just yesterday. Okay. On the other hand, we're just starting the month of Nisan, and we're retelling the story of the Exodus because in 2 weeks exactly from today, we celebrate Passover, and that's retelling the story of the Exodus, which means it's like God is giving us gates in time through which we can penetrate beyond the illusion of time and space so we can really attain the sense of true, real freedom, that you're above time, you're above space, and you're above all what the physical mind is trying to tell you. It's trying to tell you you're not happy because you didn't get that food that you wanted. You're not happy because you didn't get that job you wanted. And so on and so forth. It's infinite, almost infinite. However, no, we are in a journey. The journey of the Exodus is the journey to get out of all of those limitations. And that means that freedom is the freedom to connect to the source of light, to the source of happiness, anytime, just because we want it. And that is basically the whole purpose of the book of Leviticus. Vayikra, the Hebrew name of the book, Vayikra is the first word of the book, and Vayikra means, and he called. Who called? God called. But you don't start an essay or a story with a word, Vayikra. There's no, it's like it's against all the rules of grammar. However, when God is the author, everything goes. Vayikra is a very powerful statement. Let us explain. I'm reading in the Zohar in Parashat Vayikra, verse 28 in the Sulam commentary. We read first the original words of the Zohar in Aramaic. Kevan di'itka mashkena maktiv ve'lo yochol Moshe lavo el oel moed. We have to remember that during the last parashot of the book of Exodus, it was mostly about the establishment of the tabernacle. Why the establishment of a place of prayer and worship is such a high thing? And we got the answer last week in Parashat Pekudei. We read that it's because the tabernacle is not just a place of worship. It's a place that people, human beings, created with their own hands. So that place made of gold, silver, copper, and all kinds of other materials, wood, and so on. And that place will be a communication center, and a link between the spiritual, the divine, and the physical, the mundane. And basically, this is the main idea of true freedom, which means we human beings, we are the ones who declare holiness over time and over space. We are the one that sanctify time and space because in our dimensions, we are in charge, which means freedom is when we develop that consciousness that says, my happiness, my success, my well-being, my excitement, and my fulfillment, it's all in my hands. Why? God outsourced that thing and gave it to me. And therefore, I have to determine it on my own by controlling time, by controlling space, and especially controlling my awareness, which is, this is an amazing message because we had just go back to the ancient world. In the ancient world, the world was divided into divine people and mortals. The fact that you're being mortal, most people were simple mortals, which means there was a ruling class. They were basically godly, and therefore they were above everybody else, and therefore they had special rights that mortals did not have. The majority of the world were just serfs, slaves, subjects, people who have no right for anything, especially the right for happiness. And here the Torah is giving us stage by stage from chapter one in Genesis till the beginning of Vayikra, that idea that each one of us is a divine being created in the image of God, and we have one and only one calling. And this calling is to bring the divine from above and basically transform the below into divine. So the divine and the mundane, the physical and the spiritual, will all become one functioning system. The same way as a healthy human being is a very successful combination of soul and body. Well, the soul and the body do not fight, are not in conflict. They are living, coexist, supporting each other. While especially the soul does not have to compromise because the body has its own needs. On the contrary, when the soul is fulfilled, the body is much, much healthier. So the source of happiness is not in the physical plane. The source of happiness is when the person acknowledges the idea that I am responsible, I am free to search for my happiness, and there are rules for that search. It's all about inserting the magical spiritual dimension into everything you do. So therefore, when the Mishkan, the tabernacle, terrible word. Anyway, it's not in Hebrew. Mishkan means a place of dwelling, a place where the holiness can dwell. That's the easiest way to translate the word Mishkan. Tabernacle, I don't know, you know, if we even understand. It's not even English. Anyway, English is a an amalgamate of many languages that joined together into something that became the most important language on the planet. Still, it's a very young language, and it was not created to communicate with the divine. So again, I'll read from the Zohar. Kivandi itka mishkana maktiv velo chol Moshe lavo el ol moed. And he says, as the Mishkan has been established, what does it say? We read about it in the last parasha. Is we have right now, like since the last parashot, few parashot that are dealing with the establishment of the Mishkan. So what does it say? And Moses could not come into the tabernacle, into the tent of the gathering. Okay, kat chama kutsha b'richu kach amar. When God saw that, he said, "Omar lidei demoshe itkam v'yu levar." Moses was the main manager of the establishment of the Mishkan. Without him, it won't happen. And he stuck outside. Miad v'yikra Moshe, immediately, and he called Moses. So v'yikra means God is calling Moses to come in. Amar lo Moshe chinucha deveita b'may hava b'sudata. Adam ki akrim ikem korban l'Adonai, hadar odichti bati legani achoti chala. So, God is calling Moses, and that's what the whole name of the book of Leviticus, Vayikra, is about. It's about God's calling, which means when you establish a divine space, you will be called in because you're part of it. You're part of it because you are the only creature who can create in this physical dimension a dwelling for the divine, for the holiness. And this is your main calling as a human being. If you are not really connected to that calling, you miss your real calling. A lot of people, you know, people are looking for their calling, and they're looking for happiness, and they're looking for a lot of stuff, but they're missing the point. They're missing the point because the moment you're not aware of the two-dimensional aspect of creation, which means the metaphysical spiritual dimension, the soul dimension, and the physical body dimension, these two dimensions, the only creature who can unite them as one is a human being. And the only calling of a human being is to unite these two dimensions. Now we, as I explained many times, we live in an era that is so dangerous, you have no idea. Why? Because we live in an era in which there is a constant brainwashing since birth, education system, art, a culture, everything that is pushing the magical divine out of this world. The hunger for that is so great. And as I said many times, it had never been like ever before that the most popular movies are all dealing with superpowers, magic, and fantasy. Why is it? Because people are so hungry for that. Why is it that people are so depressed? Because they are not connected to the divine. So the more you are chasing after physical fulfillment that is based on sugars and alcohol and all kinds of other chemicals or other things like power, or physical wealth, you'll always be empty and deflated. And that's the formula for depression. So it doesn't matter what you're going to do. You'll be depressed because you're missing. There's a void. So here, the whole Torah is simply directing us through Genesis, the book of Genesis, and the book of Exodus. Yes, we came out of Egypt. We became a free nation. We brought that message of freedom. that a slave, a human being, although born as a slave, is meant to be a divine creature, and is meant to create that matching, that union between the heaven and the earth. How? A place of worship. And not just a place of worship. Later on, the whole thing develops into your own home, to turn your home as a place of worship, a place of revealing the divine. And that's what the Zohar is saying. How do you dedicate a house? We know in the Jewish tradition, when you enter into a new house, a new apartment, a new dwellings, you make a special feast. You make a special meal. You make blessings over the food. You pray different prayers. You read from the Zohar, stuff like this. This is the tradition. And by this, you call it Chanukat HaBayit. English, dedication of the house. Hebrew, education of the house, which means, why do you need to make that meal with blessings and reading certain chapters from the Mishnah, from the Zohar? Why do you have to do that? And the answer is, by the words of your mouth, you're calling in Vayikra, you're calling in the divine, so you kind of educate the house. You're not just mortars and brick. You are a dwelling. You are a mishkan, a place that, on one hand, is a dwelling place for and a shelter for the physical body. On the other hand, you are also a vehicle for the divine Shekhinah to dwell in. That's why you put a mezuzah, that's why you make prayers. That's why you study. That's why you meditate. That's why you celebrate Shabbat. You do that in your house because your house, your home, is not a real home unless it is a mishkan, unless it is a dwelling for the divine. So if this is a dwelling for the divine, you have to behave as such. You have to be aware that, there, if it's a holy place, there are things you don't do in a place of holiness. Okay? So you can't just do whatever you feel like at your home because you don't want to drive away the Shekhinah, the divine, from that place. Same thing. So God is saying to Moses, how do you start that a divine place, the Mishkan, Seuda, support? It's a meal that in Hebrew, the word for a meal like this is Seuda. The word Seuda does not mean food, it means support. You use the food so you can say blessings. You use the food because even the food has a magical, spiritual, divine dimensions. That's why there are blessings of the food. So then it says, Adam ki yakir mikem korban Adonai. This verse is the next verse. Adam. Now the word Adam in Hebrew has two meanings. Adam is, from Adam and Eve, but it means also a human. So, and here it means in two contexts, the same into one, two in one. Adam ki yakriv mikem korban Adonai. If when a person who is Adam, which means connected to the image of God, Adam, the first human was created, when he offers an offering to God, he will do it from behemah, the beasts, and that means from the cattle and from the flocks. And the commentators are asking, if you say behemah, the word behemah in Hebrew it includes cattle and flocks. Okay? So why do you have to use the word behemah? Either use the word behemah or you use bakar and tzon. Okay? So it's redundant. But behema is another meaning. The word behema in Hebrew means also the beastly part of a human being. You have the beastly part, that part that is drawing us down to the very primordial instincts of survival, which means what science will say that human beings are naked apes because they have this exactly the same traits, the same drive, the same, they're just more sophisticated, but still they have the same goal. No, they're not. They have them. We have a beastly part, but we have a divine part. Science is trying to deny it. Okay? Why? Because our beastly part is trying to deny it. Because taking responsibility for the beast within is not suppressing it. It's transforming it. It's basically ascending above it. That's our job. That's how you reveal the divine. That's how you acquire the divine, because there are no free lunches. You have to work for it. Because the moment you were created in the image of God, you need to fight for the godliness so you don't feel it's a free gift. And if you're in the image of God, you cannot receive free gifts because you are the creator. So all of this in one, this verse that we're just reading. So that what we call korbanot, wrongly translated as sacrifices. No, we're not. Only idol worshippers bring sacrifices. When do you sacrifice? When you give something you really want for yourself, but you're too much afraid of the deity, and therefore, out of fear, you're willing to give it up. Could be sheep, it could be cattle, it could be your children. It could be anything precious. Still today, people sacrifice, and then they become victims. Why? Because bringing sacrifices, which means giving up what you really want just because you're afraid of that deity that might punish you, you're not free. You are in a dungeon of your own mistaken imagination. You have to remember that. The Torah is here to free us. And the Zohar is saying very clearly, later on in verse 51, Rabbi Chizkiah, היה מצוי לפני רבי שמעון. רבי חזקיה was studying with Rabbi Shimon. אמר לו, זה שנקרא קורבן, the fact that that offering is called קורבן, that could mean sacrifice, היה צריך להיקרא קירוב. People might mistake and call it as sacrifice, but the word קורבן comes from the letters Kuf Resh Bet. And Kuf Resh Bet is Keruv, to get closer. Or Krevut, being closer. Lama nikra Korban, why is it called Korban? Amar lo hare yadua, so Rabbi Shimon answers, we know. Yadua etzel ha-chaverim, and all the friends know that, asher Korban hu itkarvut. It's not a sacrifice. It's a mean of getting closer. Of what? Shel elu ktarim hakdoshim, of those holy sefirot. Shemitkarvim kulam yachad umitkashrim ze bazeh ad shenasim kulam echad b'yichud ha-shelem. Which means, they all get closer to each other and they get connected to each other till all of them become one in a complete union. By this, she'itaken Hashem HaKadosh Karui, then the holy name is being established properly, corrected properly. זה שכתוב קורבן להשם, that's why it says קורבן for השם. Does the creator need our sacrifice? And God said it many times, you know, it's all mine. As we speak, it doesn't exist without God's light flowing into it, which means every part of the creation, according to the Zohar, is being recreated every split second. It's like the AC current in the electricity. The moment the electricity stops flowing, then everything basically comes to a halt. The moment God's light stops flowing into everything, inanimate, vegetable, animal, human kingdom, the moment that flow of light stops, that part of the creation will stop be. It's not going to be anymore. It's existing only as a hologram, as a projection of some consciousness and God's light and power. So how can I sacrifice what already belongs to God? We read it in Parashat Tumah, Yitnu et Tumati, they will give my contribution. It's mine anyway. So what the sacrifice is about? It's not about sacrifice. It's about getting closer. We all have that part that drags us down. It's the beast within each one of us. And as a beast, we do have ego. I don't know if you ever raised a dog or a cat. Oh, they have a lot of ego. But we have much more. Okay? They have instincts and needs and all kinds of stuff that limits them. We also have. We have that beastly part that we need to rise above it in order to manifest our divinity. As we said, no free lunches. You have to make that effort. So that's why when it says in the Torah that God says to Moses, when you are Adam, when you're human, when is it? When are you called Adam? When you are capable to take the beast within you, Behema, and lift it up. Lift it up, turning it yourself into a dwelling place for godliness. How do you do that? So, the temple was the ultimate place. The way it was structured, the way it was placed, and especially during the two temples that were built, we are talking about 440 years, no, 480 years, almost. After the Mishkan was built, then King Solomon built the first temple. It took a while to reach that level of building a temple in Jerusalem. Second temple was built on the same location also. During that time, people had an ability, Jews and non-Jews could bring offerings in the temple in Jerusalem, which means the offering was not to appease a deity that is always upset and it's always hungry. So you always had to feed it with gold and silver and cattle and flocks and whatever. No, God is not hungry. He's the source of whatever is existing. Can you give something to the infinite? No, of course not. It's impossible. God does not need your money, and he does not need your beast or whatever, but you need to take the beast within you and bring it up. The Tanakh, the Bible, is talking about There are two kinds of Adam. There's Adam, the real Adam, which means every human being has to connect to that Adam within himself that we're talking about over here. There's another kind of Adam. It's called Adam Blial. Adam Blial. The word appears also in English. Blial is a simple word in English, in Hebrew, bli, without, yaal, ascension. There are people that look like people, they look like human, but they deny themselves the option to ascend. How do you ascend? Is when you shut down, transform, overcome, bring up your desires, your passions, your needs, your awareness, and you transform it into a divine desire, need, and awareness. Then you're Adam. If you're not doing that, you're just fake. You're just an animal, a beast that looks like Adam, and it's called Belial. No ascension. You have to choose as a human being daily, hourly, sometimes every minute. Which side do I take? Do I take the side of Belial? Do I deny myself that I have a divine metaphysical dimension? And I say, no, whatever you see, that's what you get. All of this thing is nonsense. Nonsense. There's no religion, there's no God, there's no soul, there's nothing. And sometimes maybe you do have, say, yeah, there's something, but come on. Life, you have to make a living and you have to spend money and you have a debt and you'll be happy only if you have all what everybody have. And that's the biggest fake. Now, when you're Adam, and is when you take the beast within you and you bring it closer, you turn it into a dwelling of God. And it could be your house, your body, your thoughts, your awareness, your job, everything you do. This is your calling. And as I said many times in the last few months, we are in the middle of World War III. And the war is about holiness. The war is about that part of humanity that is brainwashing us, trying to put everything possible to turn us into Belial, into beasts that look like humans. And we're not. And the other part of the war is those forces in humanity. Today, they are not so powerful, not politically, and not even spiritually, because most people are very, very physical, very much in denial of the divine. So, we'll continue what the Zohar is saying. Verse 31. This is a continuation of the verse 28 when we said, when you create that physical gold and silver and so on and beast, and you simply make that a dwelling for God, and then that's how you make your body a dwelling to God. And that's what it says in the Song of Songs. Bati legani achoti kala. I don't see the reference. Thanks to the internet. This is the Song of Songs 5:1. I came to my garden, my bride, my sister. And it says that this verse is about the offerings. What does it mean? And as Zohar is explaining to us, on the day that the tabernacle is being established, verse 29 in the Zohar, Nizdavgu zivugim bechol ha-shisha k'tzavot ezeh anpin. It's like that tabernacle create union, mating. Mating between the different dimensions of the physical with the different dimensions of the metaphysical, the spiritual. The result of that matching, mating, is that the Garden of Eden has been united, the Upper Eden, with the Lower Eden, which is the world that human beings can turn this physical world into a lower Eden. That's a major concept. All the books that we read, Genesis, Exodus, it's all to lead for that thing. We human beings, we have one job, to turn the physical world into the lower Eden. And then the moment we create that matching, that union, all of them are being blessed. Kulam nitbarchu mishikui shel hanachal. They're all being blessed from the river. Which river? The flow of the divine bliss from the upper sefirot. V'nikshu kol echad b'chavor, and all of them, all the different dimensions of the universe, are all connected to be one. Zeh shekatuv ariti morim besami. So there's another verse from the from Song of Songs. Kulam nishku v'nitravu mimabua shel hanachal. All of them are right now being watered, being quenched by the flow of blessing of this divine river, Sefirat Bina. Let me continue, verse 31. So now, after all of that has been established, and then the Shekhinah, the divine presence, dwelled into the physical dimension, משום שנמצאו ברכות ושמחות בכל העולמות. And now there was bliss and there was happiness in all the different dimensions. והיא המלכות נתבשמת, and she, the Shekhinah. What is the Shekhinah? When the spiritual bliss dwells over the physical reality. Atoms, molecules, gold and silver, food, clothing, everything, human body. When we become the dwellings of the divine, that's the only time when the bliss and happiness flow and fill up everything. Who created it? Human consciousness with human actions. This is the power that you and me, all of us, have. And if we don't use that power, we will be in trouble. We'll be Adam Belial. We'll look like humans, but we're really a beast, a naked ape. And you want to understand why we keep being hungry, why we have all kinds of artificial excitement, high and by, because we are not following our calling. So when that happens, Bati legani achoti kala, I came to my garden, my sister, my bride. God says so. What I'm here for, it's like I created the garden, so you guys turn it into an Eden. Then I visit the garden and we celebrate together. Who created that possibility? Only humans. That's why it's called the Shekhinah, one hand, the place of dwelling, but it's also called Malchut, kingdom. Why? Because who rules the flow of bliss and happiness in the universe? Only we do. We are the kings. We have to simply take position and the responsibility. We are the kings because without our awareness, actions, understanding, that would not happen. It cannot happen. Okay? We are the end user. Without the end user pushing the on button, no electricity will activate anything in the household. We are the kingdom. We are ruling this universe in our dimension, which means we're never victims. We're never sacrifices. We are basically royals. We have to reenact the idea that we're in charge of the flow of the divine into this dimension. So then they are being blessed. All the olamot, all the different dimensions. Olamot in Hebrew means it's from the word to conceal. Each dimension is concealed from the one above and from the one below. But they're basically the screens through which the infinite light of the Creator flows through. And then, when we read what happened, then the nation of Israel is being blessed by all of them. And they're being blessed from above. But who pushed the button? Whoever created the button and pushed it, which is, in this case, the nation of Israel. Just will complete it with another powerful explanation. Verse 103. Kashemen hatov al harosh, man shemen hatov. This is a quote from Psalms 133, like the good oil over the head. Man shemenato, what does it mean, good oil? Da meshach revut kudsha. The word shemen, but it's also shemen hamishcha, the oil of the anointment, the oil of the Mashiach. Mashiach is not a person. It's first of all, it is a person also, but first of all, it is a concept. What is the concept? The ability to draw the bliss. So it's like a flow of oil from above to below. So this is the idea, the messianic idea, the idea that when humanity is not waiting for someone to do it for us. The concept, the messianic concept is when we humans awaken to acknowledge, accept the divinity of each one of us. And then we start to draw from above to below that holy light, holy power. This is messianic era. Oh, there will be a person that will be the leader of the movement, but no one can do it for you. If somebody does it for you, somebody suffers for you, somebody is a sacrifice for you, this is a very primitive concept. What about the image of God in me? I have to raise myself above. I have to be the one who draws the flow of bliss, of oil, from above to below. When I do that, I establish the messianic consciousness in me. When people do that, that's the messianic era. So you're waiting for somebody to do it. What's the difference between being a victim and passive and a beast? Like in dark ages and even in the time of the ancient idol worshiping cultures. No wonder that the ancient civilizations, there was no creativity, invention like today, because people did not believe they have the power. They were basically trained, brainwashed. They're worth nothing. So they can be controlled by the ruling class. So, yes, the fact that the idea of a human being has the freedom to create, to believe, whatever, that's a great idea. That was humanity in the last few centuries releasing itself from the fake religion that faked to be monotheistic, but it was really another aspect of idol worshiping. You're always guilty, you always do have to sacrifice, and God will never forgive you, whatever. Okay, unless you follow orders. That's not freedom. The freedom is the freedom that you understand that you can generate the ideas, you can generate your own happiness. But the real freedom is also when it's a joined together with the freedom to connect to the divine. Without it, you're not free. So here the Zohar continues. This is the anointment oil. Hanimshach v'yotze me'atika kadisha, that is drawn from where? Atika kadisha, already spoke about atik. Atik, it somehow emigrated to English. Antique. It's not just ancient, it's primordial. It's before everything. That's the meaning of it. Before everything, what's the real meaning in Hebrew? That it's being drawn, like being copied from above to below. The divine light of the Creator is drawn from the infinite into, and it starts to flow into the divine. Why it's called antique? Because it's the source of everything. Everything is based on it, built upon it. But this is the pure, most purest force of divine light when it's just starting to infiltrate into the mundane. This is how high the power of the tabernacle, the Mishkan, is about. It's about drawing that. When we do our spiritual work, either prayers, blessings, meditation, studying the Zohar, or any spiritual literature, it's all about connecting our minds, our hearts, our desire to that original light, the light from Atika Kadisha, which is also Keter, the crown, the seed of all emanations. Shashemina, that it's oil, bliss. Daino Aharon Atika, which is the lights of Atika. Nimtza b'Nahar Ahu HaElyon. It's there in the upper river. It comes down through all the levels, and then it comes to the level of Sefirat Bina. Bina, for us humans, is the source of light and bliss. And from there, Bina is mother, from there to the sons, which are the lower Sefirot. V'shemenahu, that oil, nimshach al rosh ha-melech, is being drawn to the head of the king. Who is the king? That's the next sefirah, under Bina, Sefirot Ze'anpin. Those are the funnels of bliss of the sefirot into our world. Omerusho le'ikar adikna shelo, u'misham nimshach le'kol elo levushei ha'kavod she'ha'melech mitlabesh b'hem, and there to all the garments of the king. What are the garments of the king? Whatever you look around, they are garments because it's covering a metaphysical reality. We, the same way you cannot see the person, you can see because usually people get out of the house, we're dressed with garments. Same thing. The physical sight that we perceive is a garment, it's not the real thing. The real thing is the spiritual the spiritual power that sustains every physical aspect. Could be a fruit, a jewelry, a house, anything. And these are the crowns of the king. These are the sefirot that basically are the vehicles for the light to come down, the channels that the light, the essence of the light is coming down, which the holy name of God is there, which means the holy name of God is kind of a graphic manifestation of the divine movement. When we're talking about the name of God, so we're talking about the sequence of the flow according to the letters of the name of God. Whoever studied that secret. Bo'eh, verse 104. Come and see. Kol amshacha v'kol simcha sheba'olamot enam yordot levarech ha'olam, ela ele el yedei elu ha'ktarim ha'kdoshim. Every bliss, every anointment, every happiness is coming down to bless this physical world only through those dimensions, those pipes, those sefirot. There's a metaphysical construction, the tree of life, which are pipes, routes of flow of the divine light. And all of this, it's all just to bring us to realize that our work as human beings is to be the priests in God's temple. It could be your working place, it could be your home and dwelling, doesn't matter. Every place you should be the Kohen that blesses the place through saying the right words, having the right thoughts, the right meditations, being aware all the time that this is my calling. This is Vayikra. God is calling Moses, but he's calling all of us. All the time. All the time. Come. Do what you're being created for. Bring in the light of the divine into the physical world and sanctify my creation. And by this, you will complete my creation. And when you feel that holiness flowing through everything, this is the messianic era. This is what the fight is about. Waking up to realize that that's the only thing that is really giving us happiness into our hands, true, lasting happiness, only through the true, lasting spiritual fulfillment. Thank you and good luck. We are in a war. We have to be strong. To stay put with that meditation, with that awareness, to study all the time, to remember that that's our job. Good luck to everyone.